Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Well, let's see. I am teaching Bible study tonight. I'm substituting for my bishop, so I'm going to get my notes together. I also have an email that I need to get out to my followers, and I have a meeting with my coach on Friday, so I need to tighten up some of those homework assignments that I have with my coach.
Well, what's the subject for the Bible study?
So I started teaching Bible study last week. So it's a two-part series. And so last week, the topic was, how's your appetite?
Oh boy.
And we talked about Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And so the person prior to me focused on joy and peace. And so I'm focusing on self-control. So last week it was, how's your appetite? And this week is about your taste, because sometimes we think about our appetites as just being food and drink, but there are other things that are drawing us away from God, like social media, electronics, material things. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about hunger and cravings, it's anything. It's not just restricted to food and drink. So I'm looking forward to it.
Overindulging.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to go on a diet, brains, but we're not going on the diet today. We are about to get full. We are about to get full on my sister right here. This is Nicole Surrett, and she is going to talk to us about a lot of different wonderful things. I wish we were there to go to Bible study with her. That's a big responsibility to stand in for the bishop, you know, because
yes.
People are really listening to you, and he trusts you. You know, you are a trusted woman of God to be able to speak to his parishioners, so I commend you on that. But you've had quite a journey yourself. You are a survivor and a thriver of breast cancer. Was it breast cancer?
Yes.
Breast cancer. In addition to that, you are a very accomplished author and speaker. You offer coaching programs. And so I just can't wait to get into it, you know, have a one-on-one sister conversation, because, you know, we don't always let them in the room.
Right.
And, you know, the church is our solace. So many times we have gotten in trouble as Black people for telling our truth in our sanctuaries. I think that's ridiculous. You know, I don't go in the synagogue and tell y'all what to talk about. I don't go into a Buddhist temple and tell them what to talk about. Why do we get so much grief for telling our experience and talking to the people in a language that we understand?
Right. Well, that's a great point, April. And the other thing is that I believe that when we go through experiences, it's not for us. It's for somebody else. So if we don't tell our story, then we're not helping anybody else achieve their victory.
And the victory is on the rise. Tell us a little bit about your story, sister.
Well, again, my name is Nicole D. Surrett, and I recently celebrated my 10th cancerversary as a breast cancer thriver. And it was such a changing experience, and it has led me to what I'm doing today in terms of helping women reduce their risk of chronic health conditions, such as breast cancer, high blood pressure, heart disease, whatever it is, because I don't want them to wait until they get a diagnosis of any type for that to be the wake-up call for them to start paying more attention to their health and wellness practices.
I get it. I get it 110%, because I hear somebody sometimes, and I'm like, am I supposed to answer the door? I am knocking. So what are some of the stressors? You know, like you said, you got stress management, you have lack of self-care, and lifestyle, you know? Yeah. It's how, because people want to live like the rich and famous, and they jack themselves up because they can't keep up with the Joneses. They do, you know?
You're right. And what we don't know is literally killing us.
Exactly. So tell us a little bit about the work that you do and some of the stressors and some of the things that you're pouring into these women as you speak to them.
Well, stress is my big topic because I do believe that stress played a huge role in my diagnosis based on how I had been taking care of myself. And stress is a societal epidemic. It's showing up unannounced, uninvited in our personal lives as well as our professional lives. And I'm concerned not only about current generations of women, but future generations. My background is in education. I spent 25 years in the field. And if we don't know how to manage our stress as adults, we can't transfer those skills to our children and our grandchildren. And unfortunately, April, what I foresee is just another generation where you step on their foot, they take out a gun, and they take you out because they don't know what else to do. So we really have to get this under our belt, especially as women. And that whole stress management piece ties strongly into self-care. We are not taking care of ourselves. We're taking care of everything else and everybody else. And if we have some time left over, perhaps we'll take care of our health. And we really got to change the whole mindset around self-care because it's not selfish. It's actually essential.
It is essential because you know what I just did? I just signed up to go to an Optimum Health Institute for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I am signing into this program. They're going to check everything from my hair follicles to a colonic. There's no telephone. There's no computer. There's no talking about business. You know, you have to immerse yourself in this situation because I needed a reset. Mm-hmm. You know, I just lost my mom, and to be a caregiver is no joke. To be a caregiver is a lot of responsibility. It is draining. You are on automatic, and you deny yourself that self-care. And when you don't stop, take a breath, eat right, try to get some exercise, you know, try to go for a walk, it really, really compounds the stress. My hair was kind of falling out too. And I was seeing Mr. Magnificent. I said, what is going on with me? I'm just falling apart. He goes, baby, you stressed out. I said, well, I don't feel stressed.
Ah.
That's key.
That you hit the nail on the head. And so our stories are very similar. I was actually a caregiver for my mother who was dealing with Alzheimer's. And I was dealing with what I call 3D. So I was divorced. I'm a caregiver for my mother, and I lost her a few months after my diagnosis. So I'm dealing with her death, and now I have a breast cancer diagnosis. So those were my 3Ds. Some other people have a 4th D, which is debt. And during that time, especially after I was divorced, you know, I thought I was managing my stress. And then once I got my diagnosis and had a chance to sit down and reflect upon it, April, I realized that I was just really busy.
Right.
So we have to be very careful with that. And you named some great things. You talked about eating well, getting exercise. And another thing that's really huge is getting sleep.
Oh.
And all of this is connected. And so one of the things that I do as a speaker and as a coach is I help people connect the dots because I feel like we're getting information as consumers, a piecemeal. We get a little bit here, a little bit there, but nobody's really connecting the dots for us to see that all of this goes together. As we talk about our health, we can't compartmentalize the physical from the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the financial, the occupational, the relational. It's all interconnected. And if one is out of sync, there's a strong possibility that it could knock the rest of them out of sync and have a domino effect. So we need to look at ourselves as whole beings and not just physical.
Right. You can't just take a slice of the pie. You got to eat the whole thing. Unfortunately. But it is a lot. But recognizing it, okay? And that's what I wasn't doing. I was on automatic. You know? And so, yeah. I go to the park. And I'll sit there for a little bit. And then I go back and I turn right back on. I never really disconnected myself. So now that my mother has passed, what I have tried to do is those times I was taking care of her, like her morning medication, that's my morning meditation and reading time. Mm-hmm. The time that I was taking care of her at lunchtime, that's the time for me to go have a walk. You know, in the evening when I was when I was taking care of her, that's time for me to cuddle with Mr. Magnificent. So all of these things have really kind of, I filled those gaps with things that I do for self-care. Now, when you speak to women, the light bulb goes off and you're going to see tears and you're going to see a lot of self-reflection. You know, how do you comfort those sisters? Because they realize, oh, now they have the guilt because they've been called out on it. Mm-hmm. A certain amount of guilt, a certain amount of shame. What do you say to those sisters?
You know, I don't have a problem with tears. I believe that crying is cleansing and laughter is lifting. And especially when we are in caregiving situations, I believe that caregivers are special types of survivors, because it's hard to provide care for somebody when that person doesn't really even know the care that they need. And so one of the things that I'm doing, I've actually created a group called Superwoman University. And this came last year when COVID craziness hit. So I shared that, you know, I'm a former educator, and I know when schools started to close, the first thing that I thought was, oh my goodness, these parents and these guardians are not going to know what to do with these little people. So now we have women. What'd you say?
They didn't even recognize them, girl. They didn't know who they were.
You know, so now we've got women who are home and homeschooling, and they're trying to manage their 9-to-5s, and they're trying to manage their relationships and take care of the house. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I really got into action to try to help women, because I knew where this was going. So I created Superwoman University, and I'll say that it has nothing to do with aspiring to be Superwoman, because that in and of itself is stressful, but it's about embracing what's super in every woman. And so I'm talking to women about self-care. Again, we can't see self-care as selfish. It's essential, you know, and what I love words as an educator, the word me is inside the word time for a reason. And we're not taking that time for self-care. If we don't put ourselves on our to-do list, who will? So it's not only about self-care, but it's also about squad care, where we are taking care of each other, where we are being accountable to each other, and to know that you are not alone at all. So some of the challenges that you have in a particular area, trust that there's somebody else. So to know that you're not alone should provide some source of relief to say, oh my goodness, I thought I was in this by myself, and you're not. And that there are women who are willing to hold your arms up. It's a safe space, Superwoman University. It's non-judgmental. It's all about making change one step at a time.
Absolutely. But also it's about delegating, because don't want to delegate and want to micromanage everything. You know, I'm going to give you some instructions. I don't have a problem delegating. Okay. Because again, I want to see how you rise to the occasion. And I need to get it up off me. I cannot do everything. And I learned that a long time ago, being in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Because you do everything and you're the manager or you're the director, that doesn't mean everything is done right. That doesn't mean that you're supporting your downline or your employees because you're not giving them a chance to flourish. That comes with your kids. If you're not delegating with them, you're not giving them an opportunity to grow and to learn and to be responsible. With your partner, to accept responsibility for the role that they take in your life. So delegating is huge, you know?
Delegating, and I'll tack onto that, April, the word no. No is a complete sentence in and of itself. And again, we're so busy trying to please everybody and not let anybody down. We really need to embrace and to use no when we want to or when we need to. And be okay with it.
But be able to accept it too. See, that's the other thing. You know, somebody can say no, and that can be a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. It really can. So no just means on backwards. It means on and popping or carry on. You know, it's always okay, like you said, to say no and to delegate and to be all right in that space. Even if it hurts sometime, because mm-hmm. it's only going to sting for a minute. Only going to sting for a minute. So you are an accomplished author. Tell me about your book.
Sure. I have it right here.
Okay. All right. So lift it up just a little bit. I got a little glare. All right. Let's see. It says, The Voice of Victory in the Valley, Diary of a Breast Cancer Thriver. What's in the pages of the book?
Would you say?
I said, what's in the pages of that book?
It truly is my diary. I started, it begins the day that I noticed that something was wrong with my breast, and it ends on the day of my last chemotherapy treatment. And I kept a journal the whole time. And, you know, I just tell the truth. I talk about times where I just didn't feel like going to chemotherapy and, you know, different things that happened. And I knew that I needed to write a book about the experience, April, because people would say to me, if you didn't tell me you had a breast cancer diagnosis, I would not have known, because you never seem to miss a beat. And people think that when you have a breast cancer diagnosis, that's all you have is a diagnosis of breast cancer. That's so far from the truth. You have breast cancer and you have life and all of its interruptions. So this actually takes you on a behind the scenes look at what happens when you get a breast cancer diagnosis. What happens physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, occupationally, financially, the whole nine yards. And I put it in there. And it's also a resource, because in the back of the book, there are tons of resources. If you need resources as a caregiver, if you need resources as someone who's been diagnosed with breast cancer and you're a young mother, if you're a part of the LGBTQ plus community, all of that information is in the book as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot of meaning into the title. My name, Nicole, actually means victory.
Oh, wow.
And I'm also a singer and songwriter. So it's The Voice of Victory in the Valley, Diary of a Breast Cancer Thriver, because I say I would rather be with God in the valley than on the mountaintop without him anytime.
I get you. I get you 110%. Absolutely. So would you like to read us a small excerpt of the book? I'd love to hear it.
Oh, sure. I wasn't prepared for that, but let me find something. I'm ready. I'm ready. Let me go there.
You standing there for the bishop, girl. You know you
So I was talking about how people would say I never missed a beat. You know, I see my breast cancer journey. I call it the pink sea journey, as an analogy to the Red Sea journey. And, you know, people would say to me, you were so strong. You inspired me. And I start on page one. If they only knew how it felt day in and day out to play dress up, the wig, the makeup, the smile, looking sharp like a Barbie doll, feeling fragile like a paper doll, to act the biggest role of my life, knowing that there would be no Oscar, not even a nomination, to come home to the loud reality, present in the silence, the dreaded C word, to be reminded of my new reality, the hairless image that greeted me in the mirror, the tears that doubled as makeup remover, the surgical scars which marred me. I'm clear, cancer didn't happen to me, it happened for me. I was created on purpose, with purpose, to fulfill a purpose. And cancer can't kill purpose. Cancer just happens to be part of my purpose. And whatever cancer happens is happening to you, and wherever you find yourself, in the valley, on the mountain, or somewhere in between, know that faith in God helps you through. So continue to fight, F-I-G-H-T, for your victory.
Now that's powerful. And that, you know, it could be cancer of anything. It doesn't have to be actually of the breast or the brain. It could be cancer of your finances, your relationship, your...
Absolutely.
So again, it shows up just like your sermon that you're going to talk about, taste. you know, is where it is and how it lands on your palate and what you're going to do. So you have some offerings and you have some programs. Tell me a little bit about your coaching.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the coaching. And so I'm only focused on women. I only want to focus on women, although I've spoken to a few men who are like, what you said just made sense. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm only dealing with women. Only dealing with women. You know, April, I believe that we are super women. We are modern day super women dealing with a modern day kryptonite called stress. So I do have the private Facebook group that women are welcome to join. And I'm offering health and wellness tips every day throughout the week. I also have the Stress Survival Kit. And I love to use acronyms, April. So STRESS is an acronym for strategies to reduce the everyday effects of stressful situations. Mm-hmm. So it's a 7-part video module. And I'll talk about your sleep. I'll talk about your exercise. I talk about healthy boundaries and saying no. And I'll have to add that delegation piece to it. So thank you for that. You know, I talk about ways that we can be proactive instead of reactive about our health. And I do believe that women want to make change. I mean, the name of my company is Inspired, but I believe that women are often just overwhelmed by the amount of change that they need to make, that they really don't know where to start. So they hit that default and they do nothing. And so I encourage women, let's not get all caught up with the whole spiral staircase. Our health and wellness journey starts with the very first step. So let's just start taking those steps. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm inspiring women to make change one step at a time. And I'm excited about rolling out my coaching programs that will be forthcoming in the next month or so. And just really helping people with whatever their health and wellness goals, because sometimes you think it's one thing, April, and you find out that is something else. I was talking to a relative not too long ago, and she talked about how high her blood pressure is and that she's on medication and all of this. And I'm not a pill popper. Let's see what we can do through diet and exercise. Let's put the medication, let's use that as a last resort. And the question I asked her was, so how's your sleep? And she said to me, oh my goodness, my sleep is awful. And I said, did you realize that there is a connection between your sleep and your blood pressure? And she's like, no, I didn't. So that's what I mean, helping people make connections. So it's whatever women want to work on, whatever goals they have, and helping them break it down and being their accountability buddy, being their coach to guide them through so that they can reach their goals, so that they can live the lives that they desire as well as the lives that they deserve.
Right. And they can be a bridge that carries others safely across. Thank you, Nicole. You have just been amazing here on The Edge. I'm just so glad to have you, and your smile is so beautiful. And I'm so glad that you are recovering, and you've recovered from cancer, and that you were there to help other women, you know, go through this, and that you're teaching Bible study tonight. I'm jealous because there's power in the word, you know,
absolutely.
And be it from the pulpit or be it from the pages of your book. Also, how can we purchase a copy of the book?
So you can purchase this book at NicoleInspires.com. And I'd like to spell it because I spell Nicole a little differently. So it's N-I-C-O-L-L-E, Inspires, I-N-S-P-I-R-E-S.com. The book will arrive in a hot pink envelope so you can't miss it. And I'm happy to personalize it for you, or if you're giving it as a gift, you know, I'll reach out and double check that information with you before it goes out. And if I could also give my website address, it is inspiredbynicole.com. And I'm going to need to spell that too. My company is called Inspired, and it starts with the letter N. N-S-P-I-R-E-D by B-Y Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-L-E.com. And you can send me an email Nicole at Inspired by Nicole. I would love to connect with you and see if there are ways that I can be of service to you and or your organization.
Well, Brains, I'm telling you, she's giving you everything that you need and then some, 110%. Thank you so much, Nicole, for being here on The Edge with me and my Brains. Please keep us abreast of what you're doing, how you're doing, and anything that we can do to support you and the other women to reduce the stress. Okay? Delegate me some of that responsibility. How about that?
Will do. Thanks so much for the invite, April. All right.
Thank you. I love you, Brains. Oh, I need you guys to go and subscribe to everything. LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. That's how you're going to get the information. Okay? Bye.